Hey everybody, Perry here once again for another episode of the CCHA Show. On today's episode, I sit down with Blake Pietola, the senior goalie for Michigan Tech, along with Mike Snee, the executive director of College Hockey Inc. I follow that up with an interview with head coach of Lake Superior State, Damon Witten. Hope you enjoy the show. All right, joining me now on the CCHA Show is Blake Pietola, senior goalie for Michigan Tech, the Huskies from Howell, Michigan. Blake, thanks for taking a few minutes of your day to chat here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Blake, was coming from lab, can you tell me a little bit about what was going on there? I know you're a mechanical engineer, and obviously Michigan Tech is one of the more renowned technical universities in the United States. So let me hear what was going on there.
Yeah, they have a great schooling here. So to start off my morning, I had mechanical engineering practice. So that's just like the main engineering course here. So we were flying drones there and just recording data. And then I just came from circuits lab. So that's just working with breadboards and stuff like that and reading voltages and stuff. So yeah.
All in a day's work for the starting goalie for Michigan Tech.
Yep, and now on to practice.
So I have to ask you, because it's come up numerous times, but really, how many Pietolas are there? I know you have your twin brother, Logan, your cousin, Jed. You also have a sister, Sophia. Does she play hockey?
No, she's a soccer player. Yep, she's the only one in the family. And then
another brother, Chase, too?
Yep, he's coming. He should be coming to Tech next year. And then I have a brother, Grant, who is enrolled here at Michigan Tech. He's being a civil engineer.
Okay, so a lot of Pietolas. I need to ask you then, is there a family pond hockey game over the holidays that I need to know about?
No. Maybe once in a while we'll get together. Not everyone, because there's a lot of us, but there's not a big pond hockey game.
You have cousins too, right? Not just immediate family that play the sport.
Yeah, there's a lot of cousins. Like you said, Jed, he's a cousin. There's been a lot of cousins before me, and I'm sure after me that'll be here at Michigan Tech.
And you're related to the Blake Pietola as well that played for the New Jersey Devils?
Yep. Kind of ironic. Yeah,
it is funny. Anyway. So I looked at your bio. You said you enjoy playing golf. What's your handicap, and are you the best golfer in your family?
I'd say me and Logan are, pretty even, depends on the day.
Okay.
Handicap's probably around a 4 or 5. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah. Some good rounds, some bad rounds. So
yeah, where do you like to play up in the UP?
Yep. What's nice about Tech is that you get free golf here. If you're a student with your student pass. So yeah, we take advantage of that in the summer for sure.
I gotta see if I can get my MBA up in the UP then.
Yeah, for sure.
When did you know you wanted to play college hockey?
As long as I can remember, just in the youth days, I remember me and Logan, we've always wanted to play college hockey. And then obviously at Michigan Tech, it's always been a dream and to play here.
I went to RPI, which is another big technological university out east. I know a surprisingly high amount of mechanical engineers. What are you looking to do in that field, do you think, when your hockey playing days are eventually done?
Yeah, I'm not, it's not set in stone yet. I'm just kind of exploring. That's why I kind of went with a mechanical. I started mm-hmm. biomedical, but with a mechanical degree, it's a more, you have a more broad reach of what you can do with that. So maybe into the car industry or robots or something like that, but for sure still got to look into that a little bit.
Very cool. At Tech, you kind of had to, as far as goaltending goes, you kind of had to wait your turn. You played 3 games as a freshman. You worked your way into a lineup, significantly a little more as a sophomore, to being the guy last year as a junior. What kind of wisdom or knowledge can you pass down to young goaltenders kind of anywhere who are currently in a backup type role?
I'd say just kind of stay the course. They got there on the team for a reason. The team obviously wants them there. So just kind of keep doing what you're doing. Work hard in practice. And if there's someone in front of you, just learn off of them and see what they do that keeps them in the net, and just kind of build off them and work hard every day in practice. And when you get your shot, definitely got to take advantage of it to make sure you don't come back out.
For you and your brother, obviously you've been playing together for your entire lives here. What kind of bond do you share off the ice and also on the ice? I mean, obviously there's not a lot of, you don't have a lot of passing on the ice, obviously you're a goaltender, but like what kind of things do you you see in Logan on the ice that as a twin that you, other people might not notice?
Yeah, definitely on the ice. Like you said, we don't do much talking or passing because I'm in the net, so I'm kind of by myself. But just an example is last weekend against Huntsville. He had a short little breakaway, and I just knew what he was going to do. I knew he was going to do a fake shot and low glove, and sure enough, that's what he did, and he scored. So it's just kind of funny. I just know what he's going to do usually. It's nice. Just we're in a lot of the same classes. We have the same degree. So just someone that has the same schedule and just kind of go through college with them. It's pretty fun.
Do you ever tired of him?
Yeah, we have our fights and arguments once in a while over school or whatever. So
yeah. Your parents get a chance to watch you guys play a lot in person?
Yeah, they actually make it up quite a bit because we have some family up here. So when they come up, they stay with my aunt and uncle or my grandma. So yeah, they try to come up. I don't know how many weekends, but I would say they make it up for a lot of the home weekends.
That's really nice to hear. Yeah, you guys had a successful weekend last week, sweeping Alaska 2-0, 6-2, including a record breaking 11th career shutout for you. What does it mean to break a record like that at Michigan Tech, you know, a school with such a long hockey tradition?
Yeah, like you said, there's a huge history here and a ton of great goalies who've came here before me. Jamie Phillips, the goalie coach here, he was the previous record holder. Yeah, he's done a great job with these past, I think it's 3 years, with all the goalies that have been here. It's great to have them. Yeah, it means a lot to do that, and it shows how good of a team Michigan Tech has been this past few years, and hopefully keep it going.
What do you think you can attribute, the Huskies' success in Alaska over the last number of years?
Yeah, I'd say just the compete Michigan Tech always has. And I guess it is Olympic ice, so maybe thrive well on the big ice. I know, I don't know what it is. I think it's 12 straight at Northern Michigan's Olympic ice. So maybe just getting the big ice and making plays. I think our team might like that.
You guys, from watching your team, and maybe what's what you're seeing in front of you, really, but do you feel like there's already a good amount of chemistry being built amongst your different lines that you have going? It seems like whoever's out there, seeming like in the back of their head, they know where people are going to be already, and you guys look pretty sharp through a few games already.
Yeah, we only got, I think we lost 2-1 to Ferris in our opener, and then
yep.
Since then, we've gotten a good variety of scoring, which is good, not just to only get it from one line, but to get it from a variety of players. And Coach said that we were opportunistic against Alaska, which is always good. So hopefully we can just sustain that, the offensive zone pressure, and the scoring chances will come.
On a trip like that, when you go up to Alaska and come back, what's the acclimation like? You know, period, getting used to being 4 hours west and then coming back and trying to get back into school kind of a day after. I know a little bit helpful that was Thursday, Friday, right? They had an extra day, but what's that like as a player and a student?
Yeah, on the way there too, it was took a few days. You just notice you're a little more tired in the mornings, and on the way back, having the long travel day and then having to get up for class. Yeah, you just feel a little more tired, but you get used to it pretty quick. Just when you get back into the routine of things, going to class, going to hockey, and your everyday routine, then it's pretty easy to jump back into things.
And as a D1 athlete, obviously, you get excused from class, and a lot of that work you have to make up. How much are you able to do on an airplane, and how much on going out? You know, missing those couple days of class with a longer trip there.
Yeah, you can't do a lot of it on airplanes, but on the bus there's Wi-Fi, so you can do it on the bus. And a lot of times you after practice you have a lot of free time because you practice early in the morning, so you just get your schoolwork done in between meals and team meetings like that. And teachers here are really good at providing extensions and meeting your accommodations. To they know that you have a 10-day road trip, and they know that you'll get the work done, just need some little more time.
Very cool. So to start your season, I know you mentioned this, but you gave up a goal 17 seconds into your first game against Ferris, but seemed to be pretty locked in, you know, seemingly since then. Do you have any methods for kind of putting that kind of stuff behind you? And I know they always say that you have to have a short memory as a goaltender. I'm sure you believe in that as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a short memory. And just like if I ever get scored on early or something, I just know my team needs me to not give up another one. So I just kind of look to the competitive side and say, I can't give up another one. Like not negatively, but just, I'm not going to give up another one because my team needs me not to. So that's kind of the way I prepare, and just the team needs me and I got to be there for them.
Talk about Coach Phillips and his work with you. How much of what you guys do is mental, and how much of it is physically on the ice? Is it, what, like, percentage wise, would you say?
I'd say it's a good mix of both. He teaches us, especially a lot my sophomore year when he first came in, and like, I'd get pretty angry if I get beat in practice, and he just kind of just, teach me to reel that in and hold my emotions. Cause you got to stay calm. And then a lot of it is on the ice, and we skate twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday. And he runs us through good drills, and he runs us through game-like situations, which is good. Cause, the drills that can occur in game circumstances. So
you guys play your home games at McInnis Student Ice Center. What's it like playing at home in front of your fan base, which has to be one of the, you know, more excitable and fun student sections to play in front of in college hockey?
Yeah, it's one of the best environments I've ever played in. Especially this year, even just the preseason, like opener against Lake Superior State, there's still a good amount of people here. That's just a preseason game. So yeah, the fans here love their hockey, and we love having them here. So yeah, it's a great environment to play in.
And with league play getting underway this weekend, Bemidji State's coming to town. You know, a lot of excitement over the start of regular season play or league play, CCHA play. What are some lessons and maybe some thoughts you passed down to some of the players who haven't had a chance to play in big CCHA games yet?
Yeah, just one of the biggest things is that every game matters, every point matters. Coming down to the end, like last year, we finished a few points behind Mankato, and you don't realize like one loss can cost you. So yeah, bringing it every night in league play, and knowing that each game matters, and bringing your best every night.
And routine wise for you guys, I know you have obviously class to handle throughout the week and practice schedules and things, but do you feel like you don't really get in a weekly groove until league play, or is because of just some of the travel and things, or do you feel like you're already kind of in that hockey, you know, midseason form mode, if you will, at this point already?
Whether it's league play or whether it's non-conference, you got to treat it the same. So yeah, we do the same thing for league games and non-conference. We go through the pre-scout and the power play prep before a game. So yeah, we treat it all the same, and we will this weekend.
Just listening to Coach Sean in media sessions and talking to him even privately, he seems like he's very, you know, forward and very direct and tells it how it is. Is that something that you guys see as players, and do you guys appreciate that from your coach, that he's not going to sugarcoat things? He's just kind of tell you how it is as far as your guys play and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. That's how he is. And we like it like that. If you're not playing well, you need to know. You don't want someone telling you something that's not true, because I feel like that doesn't get you anywhere. And that's definitely how he is.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Gensel banks it towards the goalie. Score!
Kale McCarr.
He scores!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me!
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at collegehockey.
All right, joining me on the CCHA show is Mike Snee, the executive director of College Hockey Inc. Mike, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to talk to me.
Thank you, Perry. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. If you're unaware, College Hockey Inc. has been around since 2009, helping young athletes, inform young athletes about the benefits of playing college hockey. Mike, where have you seen the biggest impact over the last, you know, 13 plus years of the incorporation?
For College Hockey Inc., that's an interesting question, because the audience that we mostly speak with or work with is a bit younger. So it's certainly not a job for somebody that wants instant gratification, because you have to wait a bit to see if the services you've been providing have paid off. And so to answer your question, I think the impact is just the quantity and the caliber of high-end players playing NCAA hockey. And you can measure that in many different ways. I think the one that gets the most attention is the number of players playing in the NHL, but you can even look at like recent NHL first round draft picks. What I would say is just that more so today than yesterday, and I'm pretty sure that it'll be even more so tomorrow, is people realize just how good college hockey is for a young person from a hockey standpoint. I think they've always realized it from the non-hockey standpoint, but now there aren't any of those, what you'd want to say, old school hockey guys that just felt college hockey wasn't where a high-end player should go. I think we're at the point where college football, college basketball, college volleyball is. It's just a wonderful place to develop as an athlete and also as a human being. So there's a long-winded answer to your first question.
No, that's good. That's what we're looking for. So for you and your staff, which isn't tremendously large, what does an average week look like, in season versus out of season? And what are you trying to accomplish in maybe a short period of time in while hockey's going on and then over the summers?
There are three of us, first of all. So we are small, like you said. We're a nonprofit. Two colleagues, Sean Hogan, who's our senior director of athlete relations, and then Jason Hajdu, who's our director of communications. So the three of us make up the entire staff of College Hockey Inc. I wouldn't say there's a typical week. And to a degree, I'd also say it's not as seasonal as, let's say, like college hockey, where you either have the season, you know, which we're just started, obviously, or you have the off season. We're somewhat always going, and I wouldn't even say like there is one season that's that much busier than the other, but there's also not a start of the year where it's that much quieter than the other. So, we, as much as we can, we love to get out in front of young players. And I would say that's like the 14 to 16 year old range, and their parents, and provide information about NCAA hockey. But even more importantly, just introduce College Hockey Inc. Let them know that we're a free resource. We're always a free resource. And we're here to answer any questions they might have about, either about academic eligibility, amateurism eligibility, just college hockey in general, for those that might not be totally familiar. So I would say a typical week for us is to be getting in front of our audience. We do that as much as we can in person by traveling to larger metro areas where there's a concentration of young players. But because of everybody's recent adoption of Zoom and other types of virtual meeting technologies, we are doing a lot more virtually now, and it's allowed us to get in front of a lot more young players and their parents, and also to go places that maybe we wouldn't have gone otherwise. For example, we had an event for young players in Newfoundland, and I don't think that we were planning any trips to Newfoundland anytime soon. So Zoom has become a friend of ours.
That kind of gets to my next question, which you touched on a little bit there, but how much time do you spend promoting the sport at the college level in hockey hotbeds like Minnesota, Michigan, New England, versus some of the non-traditionals? You just mentioned Newfoundland, but maybe a California or a Florida, where those sports are growing there.
Yeah, that's a pretty insightful question, because our message really differs depending on where our audience is. And if you look at, where the CCHA schools are primarily located, the Western Great Lakes, Minnesota and through Michigan and down to Ohio, that's college hockey country. Absolutely. We don't counter many young players or families, not only that don't know much about college hockey in those areas, but they all want to play it. So our messaging to them is to reinforce, what they know, and I guess also make sure they understand some of the details and help them celebrate the game and help them realize how special it is. And so that would be our messaging in those areas. I also think that in those areas, what you'd call where college hockey has a very high profile, also out in New England, is to have young players and their parents understand what it looks like to get to college hockey. We believe that there is the perception of what it looks like and the reality of what it looks like are not equal. And we could do a whole interview based on some of those statistics. But in general, if you want to just boil it down to what it looks like, is that what we think is a late bloomer, let's say a kid who in Michigan plays 18U midget hockey, or in Minnesota plays high school hockey through their senior year, and then they go and play 2 years of post-high school junior hockey, and then they go to college and they start college at 20. We tend to call those players late bloomers, which is completely incorrect. Those players are very normal. So our messaging in areas like Minnesota, Michigan, New England is heavily based on that. Then when we go to newer areas, like you said, either a newer area in the U.S., like a California, where there's a lot of hockey players, but not yet NCAA Division I college hockey, we do have to introduce the game a little bit more to them. And then when we go into Canada, I think we encounter different types of audiences. We still encounter those families that have very, very limited knowledge of college hockey. And then, but also there's by the day, there's growing awareness and growing interest in, and I think even just like growing fandom of college hockey throughout Canada. We've certainly seen that. I've certainly seen that just in the 10 years I've been with College Hockey Inc. And then a I don't want to call it emerging because it's there, but the European market, specifically the Scandinavian countries, every year since College Hockey Inc. has started, the number of European players playing college hockey has grown tremendously. I think when we started, it was like 37 Europeans spread throughout Division I men's college hockey. And now it's 130, and it's gone up every single year. And it looks like it's only going to continue to grow up. With that audience, that is a very entry level 101 conversation still. I think just the notion of being at your school and being a high level competitive developing athlete is a pretty foreign concept in most of the European countries. So insightful question by you, because our message does vary a lot based on where our audience is from.
I think you have my questions in front of you, because my next one was about European players. And I had it at an anecdotal level working at RPI. I've seen that grow, obviously, because it's at the college level as a whole, but I've seen more and more college hockey players as well. We had our Northern Michigan has the first Hungarian to play goaltender for them, Benny Halas, who's played a couple of games for them already this season. A lot of those players come over to play juniors, right? And is that where you get a chance to talk to them more, or is it where do you kind of intercept or make that connection to some of these European players?
Well, recently it's been virtually. We did not do a lot with the European players in maybe the first 5 or 6 years of College Hockey. We certainly would when they were coming over here as youth teams and touring around the North America. We'd make a point if we could to meet with them in person. We would also have conversations with like the coaches of the programs and so on. But I don't know why. I don't know why we didn't. I don't know why they didn't. But we just didn't adopt that virtual technology. It took a pandemic to point it out to us that this was something we could use. So maybe shame on us a bit. But now a lot of virtual meetings with European clubs and European teams and even individual families. I mean, we'll have meetings frequently with an individual player and either his parents or his youth coach or all of them together at once. I think from a recruiting standpoint, which is not what we do, we're not involved in the recruiting of an 18 or 19 year old prospective student athlete by a school. But I think it works both ways. I think some of the Europeans that end up playing NCAA hockey, they come over here to play various levels of youth or junior hockey in North America. But some do just compete in Europe all the way through until coming over to play NCAA hockey. So I think that still varies. And as long as we can assist and get the word out about what they need to do to maintain both their amateur eligibility and then also be academically eligible. And that's what I think, that's a big part of the impact, is more and more young players are doing that. So they're putting themselves in a spot where when they're 19 or 20, they're eligible both academically and amateur from an amateur standpoint. And I don't know if that quantity of players from Europe or in Europe at that age 10 years ago was nearly as eligible, because they would do something along the way, perhaps unknowingly, probably likely unknowingly, that led to them losing their eligibility. So that's part of what we want to do, is just make sure that they don't unknowingly lose their eligibility, so that if an opportunity presents itself, they can take advantage of it.
Right. A lot of those leagues are, you know, there's a little bit of a gray line between a professional and an amateur in Sweden and things like that. So it's good that information is being kind of, you know, laid out to them before they get to that point.
It's also hard to just, understand. It's not like playing for the Detroit Red Wings. You know, if you're doing that, you're playing pro hockey. Just the model of how it is, it's not right or wrong, just how it is opens itself to a lot of gray area, like you said.
We've seen a number of teams make the jump to Division I. Do you see this as a sign that there's more demand for the sport at this level for to having higher quality players and schools are kind of trying to meet that demand?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think as much as it is the players, I think it's more what hockey can do to a campus. And you just saw two examples of that this past weekend. If you happen to see any of the video or the footage from Arizona State, they finally opened their brand new on-campus arena, the Mullet Arena, which is spectacular. Huge crowds. From my understanding, it's going to be sellouts all season long. Huge student section, very into it. Just clearly the sport is adding a lot to the experience on campus for student athletes, for alumni, for the community. It's wonderful. And so we hope a lot of other schools see that and say, we want that too. And then meanwhile, just outside St. Louis, Lindenwood had their first ever home game at the Centene Ice Arena in suburban St. Louis. Huge crowd, great student section. They beat Air Force. They've had just a wonderful start. They're 1-5, but it's probably the best 1-5 start you could imagine. They really were very competitive with Michigan and Minnesota on the road, and then went home and, like I said, split with Air Force and so on. So, and those are two different types of schools, obviously. That's a pretty obvious statement, Arizona State and Lindenwood. But hockey is making an impact at both schools in a very unique way that many sports just don't do or can't do in terms of the impact it's making. And I know that next year you're adding Augustana, which we're really excited about, and are confident that that too will be as noteworthy as a program as Arizona State and Lindenwood are quickly, or Arizona State has been and Lindenwood is quickly becoming. So we think that other schools not only will see the caliber of players that are out there, but more importantly, we'll see like the potential just for the sport and to have their school offer the sport and what it can mean from just adding to campus life.
Yeah, it's great seeing Midco, the Augustana Arena getting built on campus there. It's getting updates every so often is really fun to see, and we're excited to have Augustana in the CCHA next year.
If you don't mind, I want to put a little plug in for an event that we're doing with the Coaches Site, the Coaches Site virtual clinic. Coaches Site's website, and they're that shares all sorts of very interesting coaching information, and we're partners with them. And this is our second year of putting together a virtual coaching clinic. So we have coaches from across college hockey. A lot of it's X and O's and stuff. So if you're a coach, it's very interesting. But we've got Garrett Reboyne from Augustana. And on Thursday, he has a session where he's just talking about building a program from scratch. And that's literally what they're doing. At Lindenwood in Arizona State, they had high-performing club programs, high-performing ACHA club programs. Augustana didn't even have that. So they literally they've got to buy a skate sharpener and they've got to do all of that. I don't think Lindenwood had to do that. So I'm very interested. I can't wait to see what Garrett has to show. And it's going to be a bit of a peek behind the curtain on what's coming in less than a year now in Augustana next year. So a little shameless plug there for our virtual clinic that's occurring this week with the Coaches Site.
That is awesome. As a St. Thomas grad in the class of 91, what is the elevation of that program meant to you both personally and professionally?
I'd say it's more personally because I'm attached to that school. It's where I went to school. I'm proud of being, as you said, class of 91 alum, and then their whole athletics department, not just their hockey program, but their whole athletics department I think it was the first ever just direct from D3 to D1. So pretty impressive what they're doing there. Tremendous leadership from athletics director Phil Esten on down. And obviously with the hockey team and Rico and everybody there, what they're building. I know they played the MTDP this past weekend and the building was full and there was all sorts of a who's who from hockey that's there. And it's exciting what they're putting together. And I really think the long-term potential for them on the ice is spectacular and off the ice, just based on my friends who are in my age and, you know, 30 years removed from the school, and we can't wait when eventually they get their new arena and now we can reunite every other weekend in the winter, basically, and watch Tommy hockey. So it means a lot, and I'm glad they figured out how to do it and looking forward to what it looks like in 5 years, 10 years and beyond.
Obviously the Tommy's playing, they played Minnesota State Hockey Day in Minnesota last year was something you helped create back in 07. I mean, that has to feel good for you on a number of levels.
Sure does. Yeah. I'll say I'm a Minnesota native. I grew up in northern Minnesota and used to work for Minnesota Hockey. So I just loved all aspects of hockey. I would say growing up, college hockey and high school hockey, I just loved it. I took it for granted. I didn't realize it's just kind of unique and pretty special, and how the sport is so connected to the community in Minnesota and how it's so affordable and so accessible. And that doesn't come at the, in spite of development, it enhances the development of the players. So Minnesota, produces more high end, whether it's college players, NHL players, women's Olympic players, whatever it might be, more come from Minnesota per capita than any other state in the country. I'm pretty proud of what Hockey Day Minnesota has become. I was working at the Minnesota Wild. I can't say it was like this novel idea. They just had a idea that why don't we have a Gopher game on at 5 and a Wild game on at 8, maybe a high school game before. I mean, it was pretty simple. It wasn't this crazy thing. And it was a room full of people, and it was put together pretty easily. And then it's just grown into what it is because of the folks at the Minnesota Wild, the folks at now Bally Sports North, but really because it's real. All of these communities throughout Minnesota, last year you saw it in Mankato, this year you're going to see it in White Bear Lake. It's just extremely special how connected the sport is to the community in the state of Minnesota. And I don't really think any other state could host an event like that. And it's just so the more that I get exposed to what youth hockey looks like throughout the continent, really throughout North America, the more I think how cool it is when a town like Mankato just rallies like they did around their youth teams, their high school teams, and their college team.
No, it's really great to see. And as someone who's been away from the state for 20 years now, I always look forward to the day, even though I'm out, 1,200 miles away, a chance to watch some of high school hockey. And not only that, but the high school tournament being able to be watched online for free from wherever is a huge, huge benefit. But,
some people, like, I think people that grew up here realize what I just said and probably agree with it. And yeah, with you. Okay. And then other people, I've just noticed it's a bit like the college message. Like when we talk to an audience, maybe somewhere in Canada, certainly in Europe, and they're kind of like scratching their head sometimes. And you're just like, geez, it's unreal. It's you go to a college hockey game, go to a Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan game. It'll blow. And they have a hard time maybe grasping it. And I think the same thing can be said when I suggest to somebody that they go to a Grand Rapids Hermantown game or something like that. And what I found is just like, well, what's high school football like where you live? Really cool, whatever. I said, well, just imagine that it's hockey instead of football. And that's exactly what it is. So.
No, that's a good way to kind of make that analogy there. I have a couple more for you before I let you go. What is College Hockey Inc. and College Hockey in general's relationship with major juniors? Because it seems obviously like it's a competition, but is there any kind of common ground or what you guys are trying to accomplish?
Sure, I think we're all trying to give young aspiring hockey players as best experience as possible. And our messaging, and hopefully if you've gone to our website or if you've been at one of our events, I mean, it's 100% about college hockey. We're talking about the success that of our student athletes on the ice, their success off the ice, their success once they move on from college, both whether it's in the NHL or whether it's just as human beings in whatever non-hockey fields they might pursue. It's not let's show people how good college hockey is by saying anything negative about anything else. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I tell people, I grew up in Duluth and I had my 8th birthday party at a UMD Bulldogs hockey game. If I grew up in Brandon, Manitoba, my 8th birthday party would have been in a Brandon Wheat Kings game. So, there's no bad hockey out there. All hockey is good. I've gotten to know some people, some of the leadership in the CHL and the three leagues up there. Good people. I enjoy them. I really enjoy some of them. Some of their conversations, just really neat people. But you're right. It is a competition because players that play CHL hockey, which CHL and major junior are the same thing. They lose their college eligibility. So We believe what we have is pretty special, and we just want to make sure that young people that have some level of interest in college hockey know exactly how good it is, and then they know what they need to do to stay eligible for it or not. So we believe so much in all that college hockey has to offer that we don't feel the need to ever talk about anything other than college hockey, really.
Right.
Yeah.
And then lastly, you've been selling hockey for seemingly your entire, you know, professional career, whether it's, you know, filling the XL Center in St. Paul in the early years of the Wild to now, you know, bringing what college hockey has to offer to young players, both in their life and their career. What's the most satisfying aspect of what you do now?
Well, what's the old adage that you never work a day in your life? So I'm 53 and I've yet to ever really have to work, because I am pretty fortunate. Worked at the North Stars, the Minnesota Moose, the Wild. I never thought of it. I wish you told me you were going to ask me this yesterday. So I couldn't have thought of it. I'm pretty lucky that not only have I enjoyed what I do, but I feel like there's been a purpose that's important to me. You know, watching college hockey grow. I mean, having College Hockey Inc. be a small part of the Arizona State edition of hockey, and then seeing what happened this past weekend, and just thinking like, you know, there's maybe there was a 6-year-old at that game this weekend, and he or she was like, man, this sport looks great. And he or she told their mom or dad, I want to play hockey. You know, I think that's really what we're trying to do. And fortunately for me, what I've been trying to do in all of my jobs, whether it's here at College Hockey Inc. or before it at Minnesota Hockey or before that at the Minnesota Wild, it was just do a small little something to continue the growth of this sport, because hockey isn't basketball. It's not soccer. It's not a sport that's likely going to be introduced to you at your school through your phys ed class. It's not a sport that you can just go out in your driveway and start dribbling a ball, and you just tie your tennis shoes and you know how to run, or you just find an open piece of grass and start playing some soccer or whatever. There's a lot to hockey. There's a lot of hurdles to hockey from a facility standpoint, equipment, having to know how to skate. So it needs more external influences, is what I would say. It needs more moments like Arizona State, like Lindenwood had this past weekend, where kids and families look at it and say, that's something I want to get involved in. And I'm willing to do a little bit of extra work to get involved in that. So I don't want to take that for granted. I am troubled by, you know, there already are a lot of hurdles that you just can't explain away, like facilities and equipment. And yet we add more hurdles to it that are unnecessary, like added expenses, added notions that you have to travel, privatizing the game. So what I would say to answer your question is, just along the way, I've been fortunate to be involved in it, where I think if we do our job well, we're enhancing the healthy growth of the game as opposed to the unhealthy growth of the game. So I can't pinpoint one thing in particular other than just being able to have spent the past 30 years in some way pursuing that purpose.
Joining me on the CCHA show is ninth year head coach of the Lake Superior State Lakers, Damon Winton. Damon, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to come on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Perry. Great to be here. Love a chance to talk a little Laker hockey and any hockey. So thanks for having me today.
Damon, growing up in Brighton, Michigan, did you always know you wanted to play at Michigan State, or was that something that you kind of figured out further down the line?
You know, I actually had a really unique path where I went at age 5, I was a goaltender. I walked into my first practice and coach asked me who wanted to play goalie. I raised my hand. And so at age 5, I'd never played a game at forward. And then I had a chance to play with my brother and stepbrother and my stepdad, coach Brighton High School. So I was playing high school hockey, and the other goaltender was actually Mike Skajinski, who went on to play at Ferris State University. I told my coach at Coach Bourbonnais I wanted to try forward, and I tried it about halfway through my junior year, fell in love with it, and I never went back. So I wasn't one of those guys like my associate head coach Mike York, who kind of got to pick my own path. I made a really late change to forward, and then just, you know, worked extremely hard to have an opportunity. So you know, I'm not sure I had a dream school growing up. I mean, I did play in Lansing a couple of years as a young kid, so we would use Munn Ice Arena at times, and that was obviously a great experience. You know, being in Brighton, I'm 50 minutes from Ann Arbor. My stepdad worked at the University of Michigan for many, many years. So, you know, you grew up with some of both those sides of it. But I just knew I wanted to play. and I was willing to do anything I needed to do to try to have a chance. So once I got to junior hockey and the recruiting process started, I was kind of open. And then I was fortunate Coach Mason and Dave McAuliffe, you know, started recruiting me, and I was able to play at Michigan State.
That's a great story there. Did you feel, kind of leads to my next question, actually, did you feel a rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State, or not until you went to the Spartans? You kind of answered that already, but yeah. you already felt in the middle of that a little bit.
Yeah, growing up where I grew up, you live the rivalry for sure. Like a lot of kids growing up in Michigan, right? And, you know, so I've been fortunate to be part of some great rivalries. My time at University of Alaska Anchorage, you know, we had the Governor's Cup with University of Alaska Fairbanks, certainly up in the UP where hockey is the king. You know, we've got great rivalries with Michigan Tech and Northern Michigan University. So yeah, I've been exposed to a lot of great rivalries, and certainly growing up downstate, you know, that's one of them. And you know, I think when I was a young kid, Michigan State had won the 85 or 86, whatever year it was, that national championship. And I actually grew up near Flint, Michigan, and we had a couple guys that went to play at Michigan State, so a little bit leaning green and white early on.
As someone who played in the old CACHA, what part of the conference feels like it's returned when this league was reborn? And maybe it's slowly coming back, as you've seen the last couple of years here.
Well, I think a couple. You know, it's obviously a great league once again. And so I think when you look nationally, how competitive we are and what we're doing, that's a big part of it, as it was when I played, you know, many years ago now. But it was one of the top conferences in the nation, and it is once again. So that part's great to be, you know, great to be part of that. I think, you know, there's some geographic, you know, realignment with that. So, you know, having some of the Michigan with the Ferris State, the Bowling Greens being back in it, certainly the UP schools. Obviously, we have that Minnesota branch in the West there as well. So that's a touch different. But I know for us to be able to play downstate quite a bit in front of a lot of our alumni base, it really resonates with our fans and our alumni. And so that part's great to be a part of.
What did you learn from Coach Mason that you still think about and use in your coaching today?
Well, quite a bit. You know, obviously, you know, arguably the greatest coach in college hockey. So I'm very appreciative and thankful for my time with Coach Mason. I'm not sure if all of our listeners today realize it, but he started the program here at Lake State. So, you know, he started it. His first captain was Rick Comley. And, you know, I played for Coach Mason, then I worked for Rick Comley. And so when Coach Mason headed down to Bowling Green, Coach Comley took over as the head coach here. So it's a really interesting ties, the way our program started, and in my experience in the game, my two biggest mentors, you know, created the program in many ways here at Lake State. But I think in terms of Coach Mason, and the biggest takeaway is really his organization and his mind for the game. I think when you look at guys like Sean Walsh and George Gwozdecki and the guys who came underneath him and their trees that are continuing to be very successful, Jim Montgomery, you know, David Carla put under, you know, obviously Coach Gwozdecki quite a bit there as well. So his impact in so many is huge. And I think a lot of the way we still evaluate and rate games, obviously analytics has changed a ton over the years and more recently. But Coach Mason was really ahead of his time, the way he broke the game down, the way he analyzed the game. And I think many of us who played for him or worked with him still use a lot of those pieces of the way to you know, to teach our players and to break the game down. So that's probably the biggest impact, that elite organization he had to analyze the game and to coach the team.
When Michigan State won its national title in 07, it was right before you came back as the ops coordinator, but even though you weren't quite on staff, I think you were still in Alaska. Can you explain the pride that you felt towards what that national championship brought?
Yeah, you know, I think anybody, you know, you have got that deep love for your alma mater, and you always want to see them successful. And certainly I get to live that every day up here, you know, with five national championships here at Lake Superior State University. Mm-hmm. You know, our alumni have built an unbelievable history and tradition. And so I can appreciate that, you know, obviously from a different institution in terms of where I played, but living that's very important there. So like you said, it was great to see. I remember we were up in Alaska Anchorage. I can remember vividly. And, you know, my boss there was Dave Shayak, who played for Coach Comley at Northern Michigan and worked for Coach Comley at Northern Michigan. So again, that was those branches run deep in a lot of these trees here. But you know, I had convinced Dave and his wife, who was a volleyball player at Northern Michigan, and Dave won a national championship as a player at Northern Michigan, to don the green and white. So you know, we had on, I think, my old varsity jacket and t-shirts and anything we could dig out from the archives. We were there supporting Coach Comley as a staff and as our small group there. So it was awesome to be a part of, and certainly, you know, for Coach Comley, what he built at multiple institutions is really outstanding. And you know, it's awesome to see him back at Northern Michigan now as the athletic director, and you know, his influence in college hockey will continue to be very strong.
Absolutely. To your team now, obviously, you know, 9 years, so this is your ninth year with Lake Superior State as the head coach. You guys have done a lot in the community. I know back in 2017, you were the community partner of the year, United Way in the Upper Peninsula. How important is it for you and your student athletes to give back to the area, the community of the UP?
Well, I think it's something that fortunately I was you know, grew up that way. I guess, you know, first of all, the credit goes to my parents for, you know, expecting that of us and putting us in situations where we could help in our community, you know, whether through the church or, you know, just different events that we could do. My stepdad did that in a large way as a Brighton High School coach for many years. And then again, as a college player at Michigan State, I thought Michigan State did a great job providing resources to impact our community. So I knew, you know, for me, it was something I took a lot of pride in. In college, I had a chance to do a lot of that. It was important to me, just again, the way I grew up. And I think when you're in towns like ours throughout the UP, these are small towns and there's a lot of different needs. And, you know, to have a Division I hockey team in places like Houghton and Marquette and Sault Ste. Marie, that's pretty darn unique. And so our players, I think, are very, you know, fortunate to have a chance to have a big impact, and largely in the youth of our community, but many others as well. So for me, I knew it was something we always wanted to tie together. You know, I'm hopeful and excited that most of these COVID disruptions are through, where, you know, we couldn't have fans around and we couldn't get out in the community. So, you know, we're starting to try to rebuild some of those things that we had did that were taken away through the pandemic. But yeah, I think it's been a big part of us, you know, regrowing attendance, building success on the ice. For me, there's just a right way to carry yourself, a right way to operate. And, you know, that leads to team success and individual success. And that's kind of shown in what we've been able to build over the last 9 years.
What makes, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what makes hockey so special in the Upper Peninsula? I know you've, you know, been up there a couple of times now, or, you know, for a number of years now.
Yeah, well, I think one day they might actually call me a Uper. I mean, I'm in year 13, 4 years at Michigan Tech, and 9 years here. Both my kids were born here, my son in Houghton and my daughter here in Sault Ste. Marie. Yeah, you know what? It's a great question. I mean, I think it dates, you know, way before my time. It's hockey's home up here. You know, it's just part of our culture. You know, certainly you can look at our climate with the colder weather and the lake effect snow and all those things. And, you know, as you drive around our town, and as I drove around Houghton, you know, many years ago, there's outdoor rinks everywhere. So there's kind of a little bit of a throwback mentality. When I grew up, we did a lot of outdoor skating. It doesn't happen as much anymore. But up here, you know, most kids grow up playing in some form, whether it's organized or outdoors. So it's just part of the fabric of who we are up here. And again, I think when you get to a Friday night, a Saturday night in these smaller towns, it's a pretty big event. You know, it's the social thing to do. You come to the games and you see the other fans and members of your community. You know, we're a little bit unique here because across the bridge, we have the Sioux Greyhounds of the OHL as well. So it's, you know, we've got, I think, 5 indoor sheets in our town, you know, pretty small population base to have 5 indoor sheets. And as I said, countless outdoor sheets as well. So it's just a part of the fabric of who we are. And I think as we recruit, that's one of the things that's really helpful for us. You know, hockey is king through the UP and on our campuses up here. And I think a lot of kids really enjoy the experience of going to a university where hockey is, you know, very important to the institution.
And you have the Great Lakes State Weekend coming up here. For people who are unaware, such as myself, can you give me a brief overview of what that constitutes and what you guys have going on campus?
Yeah, thanks for asking. And, you know, I think a lot of people would recognize it as a homecoming event. And again, I think a lot of institutions, it coincide with a football game, but up here for our schools, it goes with hockey. And so, yeah, it's a chance for a lot of our alumni to come back. This year is going to be really special for us, again, partly coming out of the pandemic and having more opportunity to interact with our fans and alumni. But we're going to honor our 72 NAIA National Championship team in their anniversary year, and also our 1992 NCAA Championship team. So we have a lot of our hockey alumni back to be honored and to take part of that. And so that'll add, you know, just a lot of extra of excitement. And just, again, you know, we've talked about the history here at Lake State and what Coach Mason built and passed on to guys like Rick Conley and Frank Anzalone, Jeff Jackson, and on and on. You know, it's really important up here. So a chance to get those guys back who have hung banners in this building, you know, that's really special. So we're looking forward to be part of that.
That sounds like a great weekend. And of course, Michigan in town for that WCHA champions 2 years ago. What did, you know, not only you, but your players take away from that experience and, you know, bring with you to, you know, further seasons here?
Yeah, I think anytime you get a chance to win and compete for a championship, there's a ton of valuable lessons. I think, as we all know, it's extremely difficult to win. You know, parity is set in across all sports and college sports, whether it's college football, college hockey, whatever it is, it's very difficult to win. So I think those lessons from a championship season pay long-term dividends. Whether it's for, you know, on the ice, as you know, with only, I think, three seniors last year, we were a home ice team again last year. I don't think anybody picked us in that position. We saw the polls this year. Again, people aren't giving us a lot of credit, but we still have a lot of guys that were part of that championship. They know what it takes to be successful, you know, all season long, not just when you get to playoffs. So to me, that's the biggest thing, is just knowing how to weather adversity, how to stay together as a team, and how you compete night in and night out to give yourself a chance to be successful.
To this season, and you guys, you know, a few exhibition games, got to play the U.S. under 18 team up there. You know, how do you go about analyzing your team with such a small sample size early in the year, with not, you know, not trying to jump to too many conclusions about what we have there?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I thought I would enjoy some exhibition games and a chance to, you know, we don't get that very often in college hockey. So, you know, we've done three of them this year, and that's really unique. Usually the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, we played opening weekend real games, and I've learned that I prefer real games, because I think you know, I think we all felt like, you know, maybe not some coaching staff, as much as you try to prepare your team, that, you know, you want to be ready to play the right way. And I think it partly on me as well, where, you know, we were running three power play units. You know, we were really interchanging some parts to try to develop some chemistry and see where guys fit in. And I think that's probably hurt us a little bit to not develop chemistry earlier on and you know, get to our shortened bench in some way. So yeah, like you said, we're not putting too much in it. The season started here. You know, I thought we played a real close game Friday versus Omaha, ended up losing 3-1 with an empty net goal. And then, you know, had a great start Saturday night, and they clawed their way back into it for a shootout win for us on Saturday night. So, you know, we're putting some pieces back together, which is really important. We think this team has a chance to be extremely powerful with 25 guys back and, you know, 80%+ of our scoring, things like that. We have, you know, we've dealt with some injuries, and we're getting through that. You know, we're hoping to be a little bit more healthy this weekend and moving forward, yeah, we're just, you know, we're looking back on that championship year to realize the little details it takes to be successful, and I think we're putting those in place and, you know, looking to apply those Friday night against Michigan for Great Lakes State weekend.
How much do you rely on your veteran players to take control of the room, and do you feel like that changes year to year based on your group of leaders?
It's a great question, and I think absolutely, I guess to answer your second one first, it does change. Yeah. You know, when you're a young team, or maybe your leaders aren't as strong, or, you know, it's just a new group. You've got to learn it year to year. And I think a couple of years back, we won 4 or 5 years ago, we won 23 games, I think top 4 or 5 in the nation. And we kind of thought we'd arrived, you know, and I think I learned a little bit as well, that when you have that turnover, you know, you've got to start over. You've got to rebuild that leadership group. You can't just turn it over to the team from day one because you've had a successful season. So we've changed our approach a little bit, but I am a huge believer in that, you know, championship teams, successful teams are led by your players, led from within the locker room. So there's no question that's something that we try to build. You know, we spend all summer, you know, building our leadership group, helping them find the tools to be successful and kind of identify their roles, whether they're wearing a letter or just an upperclassman. So for us, it's extremely successful. We've got a great leadership group this year, not only our captains and our leaders, but those upperclassmen. So we feel really strong about that. And we think they'll help us get to where we want to be when it's all said and done.
With Michigan coming to town this weekend, and I know they're number 6 now in the country. How do you both let your players feel the excitement of the big weekend? Also, like as you mentioned, the Great Lakes State weekend in the Sioux, but also to not let the game get too big. I mean, there's obviously a balance there for you guys.
Yeah, there is. You know, again, I think a little bit of that comes from the locker room. You know, we, like you said, we've had guys that have won championships. They know what it takes to be successful. We've played Michigan the last couple of years. You know, understand the challenges they throw at us as, like you said, a top 5 or top 6 ranked team, one of the top teams in the country, and, you know, reload on elite young talent there. So our guys understand that part of it. And like you said, I think for us, the event is playing. You know, we don't get caught up in some of the, you know, good or bad. You just don't get to participate in a lot of the extracurriculars until Saturday post game when things have wrapped up. And, you know, at that point, our guys will get a chance to interact with some of those national champions and, you know, spend some time with those guys and enjoy that after. But, you know, our event's focused on Friday night at 7 o'clock and Saturday night at 6 o'clock when the puck drops. You know, we're ready to go. We're ready to do our part of Great Lakes State Weekend. And then once we have a successful weekend, then we can kind of enjoy some of those extracurriculars that come with a homecoming type of a weekend.
You know, here at the league, we're definitely looking forward to some success in the Lakers this weekend. You guys are in the midst of an 8-game homestand. Do you have any particular goals that you're trying to accomplish during this stretch here of home games? You have some pretty good competition coming to town, whether it be, you know, you had Omaha, Nebraska, and you had last weekend, you have Michigan and you have Clarkson coming to town, which is another power of the ECAC hockey there.
Yeah, you know, we're not sitting here talking to our team in terms of, hey, we got to win this many games or this many games. We want to get better. You know, we want to compete every night. We want to give ourselves a chance to be successful. Obviously, you know, those who follow college hockey understand the importance of non-conference games and how important that is not only to our own institution but to our league. So, you know, we're well aware of all of that. And again, you know, we believe we have a very powerful team with what we return and what we have in that locker room. And so, you know, ultimately we expect to go out on the ice and win a hockey game each and every night. But yeah, like I said, we didn't come into this homestand saying, hey, we've got to go, you know, 6-2 or whatever the case may be. We want to come out and get better each and every night. You know, as important as these games are, it's still October. And as we saw when we won the championship 2 years back there, you know, you've got to be putting things together and building week by week and month by month to be playing your best hockey as the season winds down in March and April. So that's our overarching goal, but we realize the importance of what these games mean, and we'll be ready to face them that way.
And then lastly, just looking ahead, you know, the CCHA is obviously a grind, 26 game regular season schedule. You know, obviously you want to peak towards the end of the year, but what are you looking to get going with this, you know, with that, knowing you have that ahead of you to prepare for those type of games? Because those are obviously the games that are, you know, of utmost importance to winning a league championship.
Yeah, absolutely, Perry. That's exactly right. I mean, these are great contests and important, you know, like I said, institutionally, nationally, these games, these non-conference stretch here is very important. But like you said, when CCHA play comes in just a few weeks when we host Northern Michigan, that's when it really gets important. And it's so tough. Like, our league is outstanding. And so I just give a lot of credit to the other schools and the other coaches of what a great job we've done to build this and to get going. Each and every night, you know, you're in for an absolute just, you know, battle to try to get points and try to get to that home ice spot. So for us, you know, like I said a little bit, it's about building day in and day out, improving a little bit each day, you know, taking care of the task in front of us, which is Michigan this weekend and then Clarkson. Then we'll start worrying about Northern Michigan and CCHA play. But again, our guys understand, you know, how challenging it is, how difficult it was. The championship year that our guys were, you know, a lot of our team were part of is important. Home ice team last year, really important. So, you know, we know what it takes to win in our locker room, and we understand that. And we'll be ready, like I said, not only this weekend versus University of Michigan, but also as CCHA plays and starts for us in just a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CCHA Show. For stories, scores, stats, and more, visit ccha.com.